And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Miracle at Convention Hall, was written by Howard Merrill and is narrated by Arnold Moss. Listen. This is a familiar sound. It occurred on a lovely summer evening in Atlantic City in 1949. There were many kinds of applause, but this applause had a special meaning. The applause was for a man named Raymond Leiser, and this is Raymond Leiser's story. It's not the story of a symbol in the usual sense, nor of a hero of Israel in the usual sense. This is the story of a musician, just that, no more. The story is told because the musician had courage, which, as an asset, will balance the books, no matter what the liabilities. What do you want to be when you grow up, little boy? A fireman, an engineer, a policeman? The answer is usually a little boy's answer, shifting with a fancy as a sail bends to the caprice of the wind. What do you want to be when you grow up, Raymond Leiser? Give the question thought before answering. The historians will record this as an era of bloody chaos, and it's wise for the very young to simply hope they'll live to the ripe old age of 21. Well, what do you want to be? The answer came on a night decades ago on a road just outside of London. The lone driver of the truck on the road had spotted a small boy gesturing for a lift.
All right, young nipper, up to it.
Thank you.
Where do you walk to?
Home.
And where's home?
Golders Green.
Hey, well, you mind telling me what a bloke your age is doing out in this weather and at this time of night?
I was in London. I went to Albert Hall to hear a concert.
Oh, come on now, lad.
Really? Really, I did.
How old are you?
9.
What's your name?
Raymond. Raymond Leiser.
You went to London by yourself to hear some perishing music?
Yes.
Your folks know about it?
Well, not exactly.
What a cord.
I saved up for it, you see. I saved enough for the ticket, but I couldn't save enough for the fare.
How come you're so interested in that stuff, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I just like it. I remember once, when I was younger, I'd been caught misbehaving by Mother. I was feeling awful. And then a street band came by the window. The music was so pretty. I went out to the street, and I followed the band, like the children followed the Pied Piper of Hamelin, all over the town. Well, ever since then, I've liked music. That's all.
Strike me pink. When you grow up, you'll forget it. All you nippers are the same.
Oh, no. When I grow up, I want to play the piano.
There are two records kept of a man's life. The impersonal facts as duly recorded by an army or a census taker. But since there is more to a man than what is filed about him alphabetically on the proper form, what is more to him is kept on a record by those who love him. Such a record is kept by his mother, for instance, who may well have forgotten the address, the date,
but who doubtless remembers clearly an afternoon in London at the Liza home.
What time is it, Mom?
It's 3:15, Raymond. You've asked me 6 times in the last 2 minutes.
I know.
It won't happen any sooner just because you're standing at the window.
I'm just watching. I can't help it.
It said 2:30. It should be long.
There they are. I see them, Mom. Coming down the street with the ropes to raise it. And the block and tackle. It's coming, Mom.
Calmly, son. My goodness. Such excitement over a piano. Even if it is your first piano.
I'll go down and help them.
Before you go down, Raymond, I've noticed something. It's not right for a young man of 9 to cry.
Hours, weeks, months, years. Ray Liza played the piano and composed in England. And then his family moved to South Africa. For Liza, it was merely a change of locale. The piano remained his first love in South Africa as it had in England. Liza devoted himself to that piano with purpose and in isolation. The man for his work, as the tree for its fruit. The metronome on the piano, which seemed gentle enough, would be cruel, for it was ticking away more than the neat measures on the printed music sheet. It was ticking away the passage of time. Is there an experienced merchant, a quick and adroit computer in pennies and dollars to tell us the value of hours, weeks, months, years? Sage enough to tell us the value of time when time will soon run out and all the world will be gone and all with it? This time was priceless to Ray Liza, for as they do too often in a million homes, the headlines were to stick a sudden and very rude foot in the door.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come in.
Hi. My name's Joe Kramer. You mind if I talk to you?
Well, not at all. Won't you sit down?
Thanks. I saw Raymond Liza on the card by the doorbell. Are you Liza?
Yes, I am.
You know, often when I go up the stairway along this hall, I hear you playing.
I hope it hasn't bothered you.
Oh, no, I like it. I like it very much. So much that I made up my mind to, well, just knock on your door and introduce myself.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Have you lived here long?
A few years, Joe.
You make a living playing the piano?
Sort of. I pick up odd jobs with orchestras around town. How about you?
Well, I haven't worked lately. I've been too busy.
Too busy to work?
Oh, that's right. You see, the neighborhood's formed a committee, Ray. It takes most of my time.
Well, what sort of committee?
We care for refugees from Hitler.
Is it much work?
It's more than we can handle.
Well, maybe I could help. But pitch in now and then.
Are you sure you want to?
Why not?
Well, it's kind of like a whirlpool, this work. It seizes more and more of you all the time. You can't stop it. Finally, you're in it over your head. It demands everything of you.
I see.
I've tried to figure out why, but I'm not sure. Maybe we can't do what we want to do any longer. Maybe we can't be what we want to be.
To a sensitive ear, the ear of a trained musician, for instance, there are sounds that can be heard, although they're thousands of miles away. And such a sound was the discord made by the hobnailed boots of Adolf Hitler's troops marching over the cobblestones on the streets of Berlin. To a sensitive mind, it was easy to interpret the sound.
Finished the report, Ray?
Yes, Joe. 3 times as many refugees this month as last. 6 times as many as the previous month. The tide swells and swells. It has to be stopped, Joe.
Well, we're doing all we can.
Are we?
What do you mean?
Joe, open the window.
Sure, what for?
Go ahead, open it. The fascists, Joe. You've seen them, heard them here, demonstrating in the streets. Well, this isn't the first time they've been outside my window. It's become routine. It seems almost every time I begin playing the piano, I have to give up. I've been thinking about it for weeks, thinking perhaps it's time to stop playing entirely. I tell you, I feel almost like Nero at the piano, making useless, absurdly pleasant music.
Yes, I know, I know. But what can you do about it?
I'm doing it tomorrow. I'm going to Drill Hall.
Army headquarters?
Yes. I'm volunteering, Joe. It's true now, it always was and it always will be. You can't fight evil long distance.
You can regiment a man's body, but you cannot regiment a man's heart. In Egypt, British Army Private Raymond Leiser was always present or accounted for, though sometimes with difficulty.
All right, on your feet. Pick up your packs. You'll need them. The CO just tipped me off. We'll be marching all day. Come on, Leiser, pick up that pack.
Yes, Sergeant, I... Oh, sorry, I seem to have dropped it.
Pick it up! There. Wait a minute. What's in that sack?
Just a few personal papers, Sergeant. You see, they spilled out.
Just a few personal papers, eh? There are dozens of them. What is that stuff?
Well, it's music, Sergeant. A song I'm writing.
Well, pardon me, Liza. I'll call up General Montgomery's headquarters, eh? Maybe we should hold up the bleeding war while you finish composing the music, eh?
I wouldn't mind, Sergeant. I wouldn't mind at all.
But there were moments hastily snatched in the nights on the deserts of Egypt. Moments when Raymond Leiser and Joe Kramer could talk and think.
We have a pass coming up, Ray, you know. Where are you going to go?
I? Oh, Alexandria.
I'm not.
Where are you off to?
Palestine.
Why there?
Oh, I've heard a lot about it. I want to see it with my own eyes. Ever been there?
No.
Next pass I get, I'm going.
What's the hurry?
They say the opportunities are tremendous, especially for fellas like us. They want people to help build new homes, new industries, farms to cultivate. Ray, can you think of a better place to compose and play your music than a country that's being born? A country that's building?
You know, Joe, I've never quite thought of it that way.
Well, Ray, you're still going to Alexandria and sit in some cafe flicking the flies off your nose? Or are you coming with me?
I'll go with you.
What began as a lark for Raymond Leiser ended quite differently. On the train crossing the desert back to camp.
Well, Ray, you have fun? I lead you wrong taking you to Palestine?
No, Joe. Not at all.
Oh, it's infectious, isn't it? I mean the spirit of the place.
Well, it's like being on the bridge of a ship when they've sighted land no man has ever seen before. The land behind us in Palestine, Joe, is very old, but very new.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps we'll go back, huh, when the war's over. For a visit.
It should be more than a visit. In England, in Africa, my life was empty. I played music in a kind of vacuum. Playing and composing music is only one kind of creation. Do you know, to see those unwanted children of Europe's ghettos building, longing, dreaming as free men who do not have to be defensive about their Jewishness, this, above all, captured me. Joe, if the day ever comes in this terror-stricken, punch-drunk world when one can do what he wants, be what he wants, I'm going back to Palestine.
The day came. At least, it seemed so. When the war ended, Ray and Joe formed a kibbutz in Palestine. They joined with friends, New Zealanders, Australians, British, and organized a cooperative group to live and work together democratically. Their group was called the Chalutzim Chalaim, the Pioneer Soldiers. And Raymond himself, he farmed and played the music he loved with the MKFR, the symphony orchestra, until 1948. Again, the artist was to be stopped. Again, the piano closed. Again, the headlines brusquely interrupted. Walking a road of peace and of hope and dreaming of the nation they were creating, the pioneer farmers of Palestine had to abandon their tractors and pick up their guns in self-defense. As for part-time farmer, part-time pianist Raymond Leiser, his metronome, which had ticked minutes away recklessly, lay still.
Dusty now on top of his abandoned piano, had run out for Raymond Leiser. It happened at Kfar Gileadi, close to a disputed border. It happened after mines had been laid under the soil.
Got all your men off the field, Ray?
Every one of them, Joe. You put up the sign.
Oh, yeah, sure. It says, danger, do not trespass, this field is mine.
Good. I'll put the fuses in.
Okay, I'll be back.
Instructions regarding the use of anti-personnel weapons in the field. Quote, after mines have been placed in the ground, the crew will leave the area. The commanding officer will then insert the fuses of the mines, ensuring detonation. Unquote. Ray Leiser, a soldier of the Haganah, examined the first mine. The second mine. The third mine.
Ray!
I'll call the doctor.
Joe, what are you going to do? I can't see. I just feel my hands, my arms. They're gone, aren't they? Answer me, Joe. Answer me.
Yes, Ray.
What do you want to be when you grow up, little boy? Alive, sir, and well, sir. And if you don't mind, all in one piece, sir. Raymond Leiser lay on the soil of Israel, his arms blown off by a defective fuse, his life's purpose smashed by a small metal object containing toluene and nitric acid. It might be appropriate at this point to recall the fragile boy in his reverie, hitchhiking home from a London concert in the rain.
When I grow up, I want to play the piano.
Medical attention was given him instantly.
He may go into shock. Morphine. The axillary arteries are exposed. We'll apply pressure until we get a clamp. Intravenous plasma as soon as he can be typed and cross-matched.
Raymond Leiser was carried from the field to a nearby hospital.
How do you feel, Ray?
Not very good, doctor.
We're going to set up the operating room for a debridement.
I don't understand fancy words your doctors use.
We're going to remove the ruined tissue.
And then what?
And we'll fix you up. As best we can.
But
you'll be all right.
Doctor, my arms.
I know. You're a pianist.
Yes.
Ray, there's 1,000 pills and capsules and liquids in the glass cabinets along these walls. But they're of no use to me. I know what's happened to your spirit. For decades, you wanted to create music, to play. Twice, the world has intervened and prevented that. Now, maybe it's killed off that desire completely. I don't know. I pray not.
Doctor...
I wish I could inject you with a will to live again, Ray. I don't just mean to remain alive. I mean to live as you've always wanted to, with dignity and courage and self-confidence, to be the musician you wish. I can't inject that, Ray. That's beyond science, beyond mere human endeavor. I can only pray to God for a miracle.
Raymond Leiser was removed to a hospital in Jaffa. There... the shock over, the questions began coming. What do you do when there is nothing to do? What do you do of a morning when the scheduled trivialities of the day may no longer be scheduled? What do you do when it seems to be the gloomiest of nights, although it is the clearest of mornings? There was an answer. Prosthesis, the science of supplying mechanical parts for the human body. Leiser was flown with the first wounded veterans of the war for Israel's independence to the United States, to New York, to the Joint Diseases Hospital. There, he was cared for by Dr. Leo Mayer and Dr. Henry Kessler. One day, Raymond asked...
Will I ever play the piano again, Doctor?
The answer was, perhaps. there was a chance, a very slim chance.
Will I ever play the piano again, Doctor?
Day after day, night after night, the question came up. The doctor had ordered artificial arms and hands for Liza. There would be months of waiting for the equipment and then long, long months of practice. Raymond could not wait. One evening, desperate, he walked quietly into the recreation room and there said to the nurse,
"Sticks. Two wooden sticks."
"Oh, what do you mean, Ray?"
"You have to do it for me, nurse. Find a couple of sticks."
"Oh, what for?"
"Go on, get them."
"Oh, why?"
"I'm going to try playing the piano with them."
"All set, Ray?"
"All set."
"Go ahead. I'm praying for you." "Go on, Ray. Go on."
"Nurse, would you get me a handkerchief? I'm perspiring a bit. Sorry."
"There you are. Go on, Ray. Play." "Wonderful, Ray."
"It isn't very good, but I will learn. No matter how long it takes, I will play almost as well as I used to."
After 6 unbearable months of waiting, as the nurse stood by him sharing his trial, Raymond Liza's mechanical arms and hands arrived. The doctors began working with him. The artificial arms were attached to the remaining healthy muscle channels.
"Come on, Ray. Move that finger. That's it. Over. Back. Now then, try picking up the rubber ball. Pick it up. Come on. That's it. Next week, you'll be lighting cigarettes for me."
Ray and the doctors continued working. And then the nurse came to him.
"Ray?"
"Yes?"
"I have an invitation for you."
"An invitation?"
"Mm-hmm. Thousands of doctors are attending a convention in Atlantic City in a few weeks. And they want you to play for them."
Atlantic City, summer 1949. Convention hall packed on a lovely evening. In the wings, the nurse, and at the piano on the stage, Ray Liza. Raymond Liza making his first public appearance as a pianist with mechanical hands. This was the culmination of decades of struggling to be simply a musician, despite the world's denial. In Ray's mind, as he played, was the face of the doctor.
"This is beyond science. This is beyond mere human endeavor. I can only pray to God for a miracle."
Hungarian Rhapsody, the applause was not out of sympathy. It was an appreciation of talent. As we said when we began, it occurred on a summer evening in Atlantic City in 1949. And there are many kinds of applause. But this applause had a special meaning. "For a righteous man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. It is of the Lord that man's goings are established. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth his hand."
you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. George G. Levy, National Vice President of the National Women's League of the United Synagogues of America. Mrs. Levy.
The Miracle at Convention Hall, or the story of the rehabilitation of Raymond Lizer, once again proves that people can and do work together in the unselfish pursuit of an ideal. Unfortunately, it takes wars and disasters to teach us many things. One of the best things we learned after World War II was that handicapped people were real human beings. We no longer cast the handicapped into a scrap heap or doom them to a premature death. We have learned that sympathy is not the cure, but that a true feeling of helpfulness is needed, so that the individual may retain his dignity of self-sufficiency. Through the miracles of medical skill, expert training, patience and guidance, we are able to restore to the patient the sources from which he may become a useful and important citizen and find his rightful place in society. This cannot be accomplished without the aid of the individual, for like Raymond Lizer, he must show the courage, have the spirit and fortitude, and the will to succeed. This is not a one-way street. It must be traveled hand in hand. Miracles can happen, either in convention hall or in everyday life. We all can help perform these miracles. Make room for the handicapped. Give him the economic and emotional stability he needs. The rehabilitation of the handicapped can only be complete when the person is placed in productive work. Otherwise, all the rehabilitation only offers a deep sense of frustration built up in the individual mind. Remember, it is the ability and not the disability that is important.
Thank you, Mrs. Levy. Our eternal light drama today, The Miracle at Convention Hall, was written by Howard Merrill. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. And Raymond Lizer himself was featured as the piano soloist. Donald Bucher was heard as Raymond Lizer, and Arnold Moss was the narrator. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
NBC, the nation's headquarters for election news.